David Goldstein is a blogger. He is, well, let's say he's the Stephen Sarkansky of the left, or the Stephen Sarkansky is David Goldstein of the right, kind of two sides of the same coin. He's at horsesass.org, and he joins us now to talk about yesterday and today. David, how are you this morning?
Fine. How are you?
I'm doing okay for this early on a Tuesday after watching 24 all night. So, but that's okay.
Well, I have to admit I haven't really watched it since the first season.
Well, first, it's only gotten better, but you'll find out in January if you have time, because it's now off the air until then. Let me ask, yesterday, your reflections on the trial yesterday, on the judges' decisions and who won and who lost in general, and then we'll get some of the specifics.
Okay, well, I hate to risk reality implosion, but I'm going to agree somewhat with what Stefan said in the previous half hour, that there's really two trials going on. One is the trial in the court, and the other is the trial in the court of public opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And the Republicans have always done a much better job of winning that PR battle than they have the legal battles. Mm-hmm. And yesterday I thought was a very good example.
Well, let me ask you this. In the long run, if the Republicans lose the legal battle but win the battle of public opinion, given that people's political collective memories tend to be short, will that benefit them in any way in the long run?
It's hard to say. You know, clearly, I'd rather have the bird in the hand, which is the governor in the governor's mansion.
Right.
And that's the Democrats' strategy, is to win the legal case. What I think it does tell you is that really how nakedly from the beginning this was more a battle for public opinion than it was about legal issues that could be won in court. And I'm talking about before the contest, when Rossi actually still had the lead in the first and second count. This started way back then. They've been fighting this battle from the very beginning, and the Democrats really have not done a great job of getting their message out.
Now, when Kevin Hamilton yesterday called the allegations of fraud and misadministration and all the other, let's all put them together in the title, fraud for the moment, when he called it a loose collection of administrative errors, doesn't that understate it in the same way that the Republicans may be overstating it by calling it fraud?
Well, you know, it depends on which errors you're looking at. You know, we've talked about this before. Part of the problem in terms of public perception is that they learned about these errors, sometimes as the officials did, piece by piece over a period of months.
Right.
So it looks like this has been going on forever. But as I said before, it all happened during a couple days, during a very compressed period of time.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the errors occurred. And if you compare this to other elections in other jurisdictions, in other parts of the country, if you count up all the numbers of errors, they're really not all that many. It's rather typical for an election this size. Now, I know that doesn't play well in public, but that's kind of the truth if you look at the scientific literature.
No, well, when you have 3 million votes cast, there has to be a margin of error somewhere.
Right.
And there has to be a reasonable margin of error, and to expect that some of these things to happen. I think the issue here is not that people don't expect mistakes to happen, but that the way in which they were revealed and the long process of the count, the recount, and then the legal challenge, that a lot of this stuff has come out over time. It's kind of like the Chinese water torture. If it had been a flood in the very beginning and everything had been revealed, say, by December 15th, I don't think it would have the same impact on public opinion that it does by even, you know, last Friday, Nicole Way's deposition. Today, Pierce County, or yesterday, Pierce County threw 43 more felons, revoked their voter status. And it seems to me that it's the length over which these things are revealed that has the impact on public opinion, as opposed to, gee, if we had all these problems, you know, revealed and resolved by December 15th or January 1st, it wouldn't be an issue that much anymore.
Absolutely. And I think what I think the public needs to remember is that there's two separate issues here. How do we run elections more efficiently and more accurately? And who is governor? And what this contest is about is who is governor. It's not about how well we ran the election. And that's the problem that the Republicans face legally in the court, is that you can talk about there being a discrepancy or not in the absentee ballot report. Whether it's 875 or it's more or it's less, we'll come up with some type of number in the end that will be agreed upon in the court if there's a discrepancy. But what does that mean? The Republicans yesterday bluntly said that this is evidence of ballot stuffing. Yet they're not going to provide any proof of ballot stuffing. They're not going to show any stuffed ballots. They're not going to describe the mechanism by which it was stuffed. And I addressed this on my website late last night. The mechanism would be rather complicated. They're not going to address how it happened. They're not going to suggest who did it. They're not going to suggest how many. And there's going to be no evidence whatsoever. In fact, if you have a discrepancy, it's not evidence of ballot stuffing. It's just the lack of evidence to the contrary. It's somewhat equivalent to accusing somebody of murder because they had motive and no alibi. But you don't have a body, you don't have a murder weapon, and you don't have any evidence connecting them to the crime. And that's why that type of accusation of fraud just simply can't hold up in court.
Now, Kevin Hamilton brought up W.S., a felon who apparently should not have been registered to vote, voted for Rossi, made a big deal of showing his RNC membership card, his thank you letters from George Bush, thanking him for the contribution. But isn't the Republican argument that if a precinct went 70% for Gregoire and there are 10 felons, then 3 would have voted for Rossi and 7 would have voted for Gregoire? So the Republicans aren't denying that any felons voted for Rossi. Aren't they saying they should be proportionally distributed?
Right, but this gets to the heart of the Democratic experts taking apart the Republican argument for proportional deduction. And that is in statistics, they're doing something called ecological inference. They're trying to determine from this small sample how they might have behaved based on the group that they belong to.
Right.
But the problem is it's not a random sampling. It's not like you took there are a random number of ballots that were lost or that were thrown into a particular precinct. It's a particular demographic group, felons. So, therefore, it doesn't matter how accurate your statistical methodology might be, the data is flawed. And that was just an example of showing how flawed the data is, because in that particular precinct, the Republicans' method would have said that was 0.7 votes for Gregoire and 0.3 for Rossi, when in fact it was a vote for Rossi.
But if there are 10 other felons there, or 9 other felons.
Right, but in most precincts, they're not. In most of these cases, you're talking about 1, maybe 2 illegal votes
Correct.
Per precinct.
Right. But would you agree with Paul Barron's theory that most felons vote Republican because most felons are white and male?
Well, I've actually talked to some statisticians about this, looking at the data, and The general conclusion that we get is that it's, in Washington State at least, demographically, it's likely about split.
50-50.
Right. I mean, people talk about, and there's something on Sound Politics now about how felons tend to vote Democratic, and there's a lot of mythology about this, but most of it, quite frankly, is based on one statistic, and that is the percentage of the felon population that is black, and the fact that blacks vote so overwhelmingly Democratic.
Mm-hmm.
That is the core of the argument that felons tend to vote Democratic. But Washington State has about half the black felon population percentage-wise as the U.S. does nationally. It's a very white state. We just don't have a lot of black people compared to the rest of the nation. So that argument goes right out the window.
One last question, then we'll let you go, and I appreciate you taking some time with us this morning. You said before the break there are two questions here. Who's governor and how well we ran the election?
Right.
Is there a connection between the two?
Well, you see, there is what the Republicans have to prove. They've proven, and we knew there were problems in the election. If they can show that those problems led to Dino Rossi being denied the governorship, well, then they win their case. But that's nothing they've ever shown. They've never shown a connection between the two. And that's really what the judge has told them all along he's going to demand. They're going to have to show that Dino Rossi really won. And they have no evidence to prove that.
All right. David Goldstein, horsesass.org on the blog. Thank you so much for being with us. I have no doubt we'll talk again this week.
Well, thank you.